to the Modern Fairy Sightings podcast, where we listen to people's fairy encounters. But take heed, we're not talking about winged Tinkerbells here. These are real fairies, real encounters that took people like you and I by surprise. Stay a while and hear their stories. My name is Jo Hickey Hall, and I'm a folklore researcher. This podcast is, of course, free. But if you feel you'd like to support my research, you can do so for as little as £1 per month. There are alternative tiers with different benefits. Go to www.patreon.com/the Modern Fairy Sightings Podcast. Thank you. In this episode, our guest relates an encounter which both she and her sister witnessed simultaneously. These multiple witness sightings are reported from time to time. I imagine that from a skeptic's point of view, these sorts of encounters might be particularly compelling. From a witness's perspective, it's simply an exceptionally special experience to have shared, and the beauty of it is that you have someone to discuss the experience with. This is so important, and as I've said before, many people have very strange experiences and see things they know to be true but cannot make sense of, and then they feel they have no one they can really speak to openly about it. An added level of interest is what the sisters chose to do to ensure they reduce the potential for bias in their accounts. As you'll hear, they took it upon themselves in that moment to treat the experience as a quasi-social psychology experiment. The audio is rather patchy, so apologies for that. I hope you enjoy and see you at the end for a quick chat. Time to
This March, I think I had an encounter, but I'm not sure what it was. But it was an interesting thing because it happened to me and my sister. So we both saw the exact same thing. So it was a very, very normal day. It was around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. It was a very nice spring day. We were in the kitchen. And we were just chatting about everyday mom life stuff. And I think we were drinking coffee or just making tea. So it was really nothing out of the ordinary. And suddenly we heard a strange sound. It was a short sound, which we later tried to describe. And it was the sound of friction. The sound of moving heavy furniture on the carpet, something like, I don't know, I'm rubbing my hands, I really can't give it back. But we immediately turned our head to the direction of the noise, which was at the corridor. So I turned my head right, and she turned left, and she was also holding her little baby boy, of 9 months. And so then we turned at each other and just said, did you see that too? And it lasted just for a second, but it was long enough for us to describe the exact same thing at the exact same spot. And it was a little, maybe 50 centimeters tall, white, human-shaped something or someone beside the half-open door. And it was a strange thing because our immediate instinct was to check on my baby because she was sleeping next to this open corridor door. But somehow, it's a strange thing because when something frightening happened in our childhoods, it was always my sister who was the brave one. So somehow, I was fearful, but I had some sort of resistance of checking behind the door.
Okay.
And and to check on my baby, which is so weird because I'm her mother. So that was a very, very strange thing. So my sister gave her little boy to me and immediately went to the door to check what's behind the door. And when she said there's nothing there, then we moved to the other room and checked on my baby, and she was sleeping, sound asleep. And the funny thing is that both me and my sisters are psychologists. So the very first thing was, let's search for some sort of rational explanation.
Did you say you're biologists?
Psychologists.
Oh, like psychologists?
Yeah, psychologists. Psychologists. Yeah, sorry.
Wow, okay, yeah.
So don't say anything to me because I don't want to be biased. So what we did, we didn't say anything, waited for our mother to come up, and then we told each of us to our mother what we saw and where we saw it.
So you separately spoke to your mother.
Yes, because
to keep the bias away.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yes. And it was on the exact same spot, like not 10 centimeters on the right or on the left. And that was very weird. And somehow, when we were talking about it, we weren't afraid, but we had goosebumps all over our bodies. So we felt like as if really happened.
Yes.
There. And we also discussed that if her baby boy started crying, then we would have freaked out for sure. But somehow his calmness made us feel at ease too.
Mm. Where was the being looking? Do you know?
I think it was, we didn't see its face. Oh. But I could have, because it was just a shape of a form. However, it felt as if it had a very specific direction, which was towards the frame of the door, like if it would have wanted to go into the door. So it was going from our perspective, from the left to the right. So it was not facing us. And it's weird to describe it because it was really just a glimpse, but she felt the same too. And that's why my sister said that it felt like as if someone took a wrong turn. It just felt very accidental.
So you're seeing the back of it. So you're in the room, and then there's maybe like a portionally open door into a corridor, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're sitting kind of together and you both look over to it. And so did you catch a glimpse of it sort of leaving the room rather than coming into the room?
So it was a half open door.
Yes.
But it was rather opened than closed.
Okay.
So my impression would be that it didn't want to come inside.
No.
It really just sort of bumped into the door.
From the corridor or just from another dimension?
it's hard to describe. I could send you the picture and draw you it on a line where exactly it went.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, that would be really cool. We broke off at that point and my guest showed me via video link where the figure had appeared. She sent me a couple of photos where she's roughly drawn the shape of the being and where it stood in relation to the door. If you're anywhere near as nosy as I am, you'll want to see that photo. And so it's available on the show notes for this episode, which you can find on my website, www.scarletofthefae.com. I just wonder what the original layout of the house was.
I know that this house was built in 1800 something. There was a lord here who had a very big dominion.
This
place was the place where the horses were. How do you call it?
Oh, the stable.
Yeah, the stable.
So this was the stable. That's so interesting. I mean, there's so much folklore connecting fairies with horses and stables.
One part of the horses and stable, and the other part was the place where they kept the food, so the food storage,
yes,
and the place,
yes,
of the servants, of the cook and, yeah, the kitchen. So,
yeah,
so this was this that part.
I mean, it, you know, sort of seeing where it was, and when you said that you were sort of in the kitchen having a cuppa when it appeared, I had originally thought, was it after some food, or, you know, was it after something that it might often have access to, and food would be one of those sorts of things that might draw a fairy in. This is great. So this house, has it, you know, been in your family for quite a long time?
No, my mother inherited it, and it wasn't even a family heirloom, I guess,
yes,
that's what it was. But she was very close friends with the women and her husband,
right,
who lived here. So that's how we inherited the house in 1992 or something like that. But yeah.
Have you ever felt anything there before?
Well, to be perfectly honest, as a child, I hated this house because I had a very, very vivid imagination, which I strangely lost somehow. I think I've grown up, or I don't know. But I was always afraid in this house because there are incredibly many windows and old mirrors and old stuff. So this house is really very old. And there is also a big cellar, which is also very dark, and everything is rusty and everything squeaks. So as a child, it was always, I always felt watched, or I always had this feeling that something is off.
So. Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine that in a house like that, you know, as a child, it really opens your imagination up to what may be there in the dark.
Whenever my friends came, they were spooked about it too, and they also felt this eerie thing in this house. But as I said, I have no idea whether it was just our imagination, because it is a lovely house, and now as a grown up, I feel calm.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, with the being that you saw, what kind of sense did you get? I mean, I know you had said that it, you know, made your skin crawl. You had a physical reaction to that. And when you were talking about it afterwards, as you've just described, you both kind of felt, you know, the shivers down your spine talking about it. At the time, were you kind of frozen in terror or just shock?
The strange thing is that I think it was a very neutral emotion.
Yes.
So it was no terror at all. And I, even though I had this resistance of checking what's behind the door, I didn't felt afraid in a spooked out sense. Because as a child I had these things in this house where I, for example, every time I had to go to the cellar stairs are pretty steep and long, and I ran as fast as I could because I always had this that feeling that something is watching me at the bottom of the stairs, so
yeah.
I always had to run up very fast, and even my heart started beating, and I had nothing of that in this special case.
It was just a moment that happened.
Yeah, and it didn't even feel that unnatural, which is weird to say, but it was somehow. Yeah, a strange thing that happened on a normal afternoon.
Yeah. Could you describe any more what it looked like? So you didn't get to see its face. Is that because its features didn't form in a way that you could recognize, or because it had its head or face tilted slightly? Can you describe anything about it?
Yeah, what I could say is that it was white. Mm-hmm. It wasn't translucent, but the edges of its shape were a bit fuzzy.
Mm.
Maybe if I could describe it, and it was, as you said, that the facial features didn't form, but the whole silhouette of it was very lean.
Mm.
And I would say it didn't have arms or legs, but I had the feeling that if I would have just could have 2 more seconds or just 1 more second, mm. then I could have seen it, like mm-hmm. as if it could have emerged into a body, because the shape was definitely a body shape.
Yes,
like it didn't have a big head,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't a little head either.
Mm. So proportioned well as a person.
Mm. No. If you ask it that way, then I would say it had a rather rather tiny head.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was very sleek. Really mm. sleek.
More a fairy than, say, a spirit.
Mm, I have no idea what it was. So I wouldn't say it was a fairy. It was just something that felt out of the ordinary.
Mm. And it was around 50 centimeters tall.
Yeah, so yeah. Maybe 50. Yeah, I think 50, that's right. So around the knee. It
yeah.
Around, yeah.
Your sister had her baby at the time. Did the baby see it? Or I guess maybe it happened too quickly to tell.
I don't think that that he saw it because he wasn't looking at that direction.
Hmm.
And I think he was chewing on something, so he wasn't mm-hmm. paying attention.
He was otherwise engaged with something to nibble on.
yeah.
As they often are. Okay. Yeah. And so have you noticed before or since any other indication of its presence?
No. No, that's also so weird that the same way we couldn't link the experience to anything.
Yeah.
Like nothing happened that day, nothing happened afterwards, nothing happened before it. There were no traces. Yeah, although I have to say that in this house, nothing is on its place. Like, my father gets mad and crazy about it because he's never finding anything, never.
Yeah. A creative place to be, sounds like.
Yeah.
And so nothing had happened kind of before or afterwards in your lives. It didn't mark any point in your lives at all, not just that day, but taking a longer view. I mean, apart from COVID, of course, which has just, you know, thrown everybody into an entirely different space, but it didn't mark any kind of transition within your own lives or your family's lives or anything like that.
Well, in my life, I actually have to say that this year was the best year of my life, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved to our dream house. I got pregnant again right now. a lot of awesome things happened, and things that we wished for a very long time.
Oh, this is so nice. So, yeah, it feels like a blessing of some sort.
Yeah.
It would be nice to think if there was a connection. How does your sister feel about it, about the experience?
She felt also the same. We were speaking a lot about it. Like, do you still remember that? Yeah. And so we talked a lot about it. We tried to make some sort of sense out of it.
Mm.
I'm much more rational than my sister, who is well, pieces. So she is very intuitive and much of an empath and everything. But we had the same feeling, which was maybe weird for me because she's the feely type and I'm the thinker type. And I'm the first to always draw very rational and pragmatic conclusions. So that's why I say I have no idea whether it was a fairy or not. However, I have never experienced anything like that before.
No.
And I could have tell that this was something special.
And it's so nice that you experienced that together. You know,
yes,
that you shared that experience, because had one of you seen it and said to the other, there would be so much kind of an unsureness whether it happened or not. But it's when it happens and there's more than one of you that witnesses it,
yeah,
feels it, and you felt it physically in your body, it's just so nice to be able to share that.
Yeah, the doubt somehow disappears or moves into something different. I would say it was some sort of awe feeling.
Well, I'm really glad that whatever happened this year has been, you know, a good one for you and has brought blessings for you. Yeah, I wonder if it will ever turn up again. Do you ever think about communicating with it or leaving offerings for it or anything like that? Or would that be a step too far?
Yeah, that's very strange because I'd love to meet it again. I'd love to meet any sort of supernatural being, I think.
Mm.
Because as a child, as I said, I was always interested in this stuff. With my friends, I didn't want to talk about anything else, just woo-woo stuff, as you would call it. Like, I was really, really into it, and I always had this very strong sense that there is something behind the veil. I don't know what, but there is something, and I'm just so interested in it. And I think I lost something. Some part of that faith, I think. And that was a part of my life when I really grieved it. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to be that, the child again who believes in magic and wonder. However, and this is also important, I think, I was raised very religiously because, my father is a reverend, actually.
Right.
And my mother has an incredible strong faith, but she has also abilities, which if anyone else would say things that she experienced, I would say, I'm not quite sure about that. So I would be very skeptic, but because my mother is such a part of my life, I'm much more open to new experiences. And because of my, I think, religious childhood, I was taught not to interfere with beings. So don't ask them, don't call upon them, because if they come, then you can control whether they want to stay or not. And it was really carved into my mind that you don't mess around with beings.
Yeah.
So even though I sometimes feel I lost something of my very childish and naive wonder faith, I still have that little voice that says, even if you don't understand something, don't meddle with it.
Yeah.
Poke it. Yeah, it's so strange because if you'd ask my intuition, I would say I've never met this particular being before.
Okay.
And I also think I won't meet it again.
Right.
So it's really strange, and I'm really thinking and I'm opening myself to this thought that it could have been a spirit, but somehow everything in me says no. This wasn't a ghost or spirit, this was something else.
Time to renovate.
I enjoyed this encounter. The setting is what you might expect in any ghost tale, an old, creepy-sounding house, and yet there had been no indication up to this point that any beings existed in the house, apart from creepy feelings. It's interesting that she'd never seen anything as a child, despite feeling watched, but now, as an adult, having lost her sense of wonderment, as she described, she suddenly witnesses a very strange event, along with her sister. Many of us grieve the sense of wonder that we have innately as a child. It's so precious, and something we do need to encourage in our children. Luckily, many brilliant parents, teachers, and family members also recognise the importance of this, and do a great job of stimulating children's natural curiosity. Our guest stressed the fact that it had been a normal kind of day for her, and I think that's what makes it so striking when an encounter like this takes place. You're going about your business in a mundane sort of way when, all of a sudden, you get a glimpse into what is as yet unknown, an aspect of this universe for which we don't yet have the understanding. The noise that took their attention in the first instance is interesting too. It's described as being a strange noise, friction, like someone moving furniture. I wonder if this is a feature of other sightings. Was the noise made by something squeezing into this dimension from another? As with other reported encounters on modern fairy sightings, the witness reports that it didn't feel unnatural, and although they had a physical reaction, they weren't frightened. She describes a neutral emotion, no terror, no sense of feeling afraid. Many of us think we'd be frightened, but unless it's a horrible experience, and there are horrible experiences, people don't usually report feeling frightened. But our guest tells us that she was resistant to looking behind the door, almost as if they reverted to their childhood sisterly dynamics in that moment. They both noted how that was strange. I love the fact that they both decided to give testimony separately to their mother in an effort to reduce any potential bias in the reporting of their experiences. Everyone has a different way of attempting to make sense of these encounters. I'm impressed by their quick thinking and their ability to remain so level-headed in extraordinary circumstances. We all react to situations in different ways. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It's a real honour to be able to hear these accounts and also to be able to share them with you. If you enjoyed this episode, then please consider sharing it with one other person whom you think might enjoy it. Much love, and remember, always remain curious.